Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. I'm Susan Jane, your host for the podcast, and today we've got a first. So I've got two guests on, husband and wife, Philip and Jane Mountrose, and I'm not really sure how we're going to go with this because it's all new technology, and so we're going to have some fun here. So especially if you're watching on the show, The Art of Intuition on YouTube, you will see what we get up to. But it's going to be really good because they're talking about soul awareness. Now, I'm not going to give you their background. They're going to do that for me when I bring them on the show. So welcome onto the show, Philip and Jane. Hi, Philip and Jane.
Great to be here with you, Susan.
Now, I haven't worked with two people before, so if there's any arguing, I'm going to be stepping in, okay?
Well, we've been married for 40 years, so we're pretty good with each other.
Oh, cool.
We've mellowed out.
All right, so I don't know who wants to start. We sort of just went ladies first then. Do you want to give us a little rundown, Jane, on the background and how you came to – actually, Philip can talk about the organization that you've got, which is called Getting Through, and through is spelt T-H-R-U. So, Philip, you can talk about that. But, Jane, let's have a little bit more of the touchy-feely and you explain to how your life's come together.
Well, it's kind of interesting when we're looking at soul development, which also is directly, to me, related to intuition. We met many decades ago in a spiritual organization where the leader had all the truth and everybody followed the leader, as happens often. And we did that actually for almost 10 years, I think. And then we started to wonder, well, if he has access to all this truth, why can't we have it? And I think that's a great question for everybody to ask if you haven't connected with that sense of knowing within yourself yet. So we left the organization and started looking for our truth. And we took a lot of different classes and courses and on intuition and on spiritual development and many, many things. And it took us, and of course, this was more than three decades ago, it took us quite a while to come across something that was just clear, simple, and works. Because it's often like, well, is this it? I don't know if this is it. You know it's it. So what happened was we had the good fortune of meeting a couple who were spiritual teachers, and they taught us a process for connecting with the truth in our hearts. And we've since then, that to us evolved into an understanding of ourselves in a completely different way. If you really follow your heart and open your heart. So that was the beginning. And of course, since it was 30 years ago, there's been a lot that has happened since.
Yes, there's a lot of growing. And I absolutely agree with you. If we follow one line, we tend to miss everything else. It's like going to work on the same road every day. You miss what's going on. If you take a different route every now and again, go a different way, we see a lot of things that we may not have seen before. So yeah, really, I really understand that. But then, and now now you've got this lovely organization. So Philip, can you tell us about the Getting Through organization?
You bet. That, by the way, what that is, what we were describing, was open to the synchronous flow of the universe, if you like that phrase and way of describing it, being in that flow. So we mentioned our website, gettingthrough.org, and that's getting, T thru.org. And we started that a few decades ago. It's a very long established website that has many articles and videos and trainings and our coaching program. And there's actually several subset sites in the Getting THRU, the gettingthrough.org website. But our organization actually, Susan, is Awakenings Institute, a nonprofit organization with the mission of devoting to making the world a more loving place where everyone's gifts are honored, including nature, to make the world a more beautiful, loving place. So that became our mission and our nonprofit organization.
Wow. Okay. So, okay. So we've got the website here, and I didn't actually grab the other organization. Sorry. We can put that down in the links so people can see that. But let's get stuck into the juicy bits now. Okay. So we're going to talk about, hang on, let me bring my piece of paper over so I'm not turning my head to the side. We're going to be talking about soul awareness. So the next frontier, how we can really connect with our soul and what does that mean for us? So I guess the first thing I want to ask is, what is the soul? What do you, because we've all got different lingos, like we've all got different language and we relate to it in different ways. But so people understand, and I don't know who I'm asking this question to, so just whatever. what do you call the soul? What do you class it as?
Well, there are many references to that deeper identity we call your soul, your inner awareness, your inner knowingness, that aspect of you which passes on actually from life to life or is more eternal. It's a piece of God. It's connected with the universe, with source, with oneness, depending on which words you like to use or are most comfortable with. It's always there. You're always soul present. And when we have these profound experiences in life, a beautiful sunset or a beautiful experience, beauty, our soul comes out naturally, that wonder, that awe, that connection. And then in challenging extreme duress, we can, in these difficult times, we can have the bravery and kind of exceeding ourselves into that soulful, transcendent place. But generally we have found, and this is what Jane was saying, when we discovered our path and got connected, that you can connect with your soul at any moment. It's always there. And the whole goal spiritually is actually to be more and more connected and more on purpose and more on track by being a soul aware moment to moment. And that's my brief description.
And Jane, yours is similar to that?
Well, yes. Well, there's always so much to add. It's interesting because when we were in that place of searching, I was an architect and Philip was an educator at the time. And I got to a place after a number of years, it was probably 15 years, where it just was not at all interesting to me. We were successful. We had, you know, the house, the cars, the vacations, pretty much all of those things. But I felt in my heart that my soul was dying. And I had no idea what that meant. It wasn't from a religious background or anything. What I think of it as now is that time when we get to what people call the dark night of the soul, which is really where our identity, what we assumed ourselves to be as physical beings here on planet Earth, that just isn't working for us anymore. And we're awakening actually to redefining who we are. So in doing that, then, as I mentioned, we were given a process from this couple who we met to connect with the truth in our hearts, to drop down from all of that activities that's going on in most of our heads into the heart. And I just now, just breathing, you know, just breathing, being in the heart, slowing down a little, it feels different. Yes. And when I started doing that, the life came back to me. And it came back really fast. And it's interesting because holistically, the heart, it's at the center of our being. And I'm also speaking of the heart center too, which is more connected with the energy system. And it is the place where we connect most easily with the spirit within us. So it, and it's interesting in society, it's commonly people talk about heart and soul. And it's not an accident that that happens, but most people don't even have any idea what they're saying when they say that, which is so interesting.
Yes. And I think the other thing too, it gives us an area to focus on, like a almost a physical area to focus on, which, you know, sometimes when we're going through these spiritual practices, they can get so big, it can get a little bit almost overwhelming. Whereas when you can sort of go, I was watching you, Jane, you're touching your heart area. And it's like when you're talking about it, you've got somewhere you can focus and that can really help us going forward. So yeah, I really love that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's what we class as the soul. Now, when you're talking about connecting, I'm going to put this to you, Philip. When you're talking about connecting, it's almost, when we talk about connecting, it's like a physical aspect, isn't it? Connect to me, when you say connecting, it's like we're connecting a hose, or we're connecting this or connecting that. And yet when you refer to the soul, there's no physical aspect there. So what does connecting mean or look like or feel like? Is that all right, a question to ask you, Philip?
I think that's a very good question. I like that question. And I bet a lot of people are asking the same question right now. So the soul is an energy as opposed to physical body. And we're usually in this world conditioned and think that the physical world is all there is. And with the veil that we're living in, it seems like that's true. But if you open up to something, it's like an undiscovered, hidden country, vast world, actually, that's there hidden behind the curtain, behind the veil, that's always there and is actually influencing and directing us through our life plan. And as we awaken, and sometimes just through those beautiful moments and those tragic moments, like I said, we get connected to our path and to more meaning and more purpose. But as we said, you can go much further from day to day, moment to moment on this track. And as you open your heart, it changes the way you perceive and are in the world. And imagery, and we may be talking about that, I know, in a few minutes, is a way the soul often expresses itself. I was helping a lady today, and when she was feeling the stress in her heart, and this is interesting, Susan, the soul stress and fear and doubts, restrictions block the soul, and at the same time, the soul can heal those blocks, and we have processes to do that. So it seems paradoxical, but it's true. So to illustrate, the lady I was helping this morning, when she saw her soul, we went into her heart, she saw like a wilted rose because there was some fear and resistance, and it shows up just naturally, just like if you just looked outside and saw a flower wilting, you know, it'd be as natural as that. But you're seeing it in your mind, which is, and it's very real and powerful. And by connecting with the soul, that energized her, that vast energy, and awakened her to see the beauty of the oneness, and the rose grew back to a beautiful blossoming rose.
So you were doing that through the visualization, we imagery you were talking about, but we're not there yet. We're not going there yet. We've got to step by step here.
That's so good.
So the connection, when you're talking about the connection, Philip, you're talking about the ability, almost like the ability to connect with this energy. So we're taking this physical aspect, and we're trying to connect with an energy. And the way that you're suggesting we do this, and I know you're going to do this because this is how I do it, is through another style of energy. So but your energy is called imagery. You're calling this energy imagery. So you're creating these images, and that's the energy that you're connecting with the soul. Is that sort of where I'm...
Let me edit what you said. Imagery is one form of it. It could be that in some of the processes use imagery. It could be a knowingness. It could be a word. It could be a message. It's something that you sense that's coming from a different place, a different energy. It's just to use a rough analogy, you know, someone who seems very superficial versus someone who seems very profound and authentic. I mean, we can tell the difference usually. So it's that idea of something very deep and genuine, and seeing and understanding and being in the world very differently than just kind of rushing through the world and doing things routinely and doing things other people do and going on to the next thing. It's stopping. It's not only smelling the roses, it's understanding the roses, it's being the roses.
Yes. Okay. Right. So when we talk about imagery, that is one of the tools that you're using in your organization to help people connect properly or create this soul awareness.
Yes.
Yeah. Beautiful. Okay. And before I go from you, Philip, I do would like to just sort of mention that you've got a book there beside you. And I have got it up on the ticker tape, but for those listening to the podcast, can you explain a little bit about the book?
Yes, The Loving Power of Your Soul, subtitle, A Guidebook for Realizing Your True Purpose. This was a labor of love, a long book. It encapsulates a lot of our three-decade career, Jane and myself, in this book, where we divide it into preparing, using the soul in preparation of your life, and activating, how to activate and do soul processes. We have six different ways to connect with the soul. And then the integration, which is the healing work, which I refer to, where you heal the blockages so you get clear as you go forward on your journey. And that's this very easy to read kind of handbook. I think it's a unique book, very practical, that people could get a lot of tools and insight from this. And it's a very brand new book as of now, just came out a week ago, The Loving Power of Your Soul.
Wow. And where can we get that, Philip?
It's on Amazon. It's in paperback and ebook.
Mm-hmm. Yep, cool. Okay, Jane, your turn. Whoa, got another question. All right.
Well, Philip, can I backtrack a little bit?
Oh, because, yes, certainly, yeah, please.
I think that the basis of the process that we use to connect with the truth in your heart is the energy of love. So the imagery is a wonderful thing to go deeper, but the way we start is by breathing love into the heart.
Ah, now that makes sense.
That's why I said it's a very simple, it's a very certain kind of a thing. You can tell if you're in a place of love or if you're in a place of fear, anxiety, you know, confusion. Love is there with gratitude, kindness, joy, those kinds of things. But to me also, love is, and I didn't ask myself this question for many years, actually, after we started doing the soul centering process. Love to me is connectedness. If you're talking about divine love, unconditional love, it is a state where everything is connected. If you really truly love someone or something, there is no separation. And when we're talking about the vast realms of spirit, we're talking about a place where there is no separation. We're going into that state of connectedness. So that, yes, it's really about opening to the love of in your heart and allowing that to kind of to expand and to become larger, and then it starts to radiate out. You can feel it. And just doing it now, just talking about it, I can feel it. Just breathing it into your heart, opening to the love that is there, and allowing it to go into all of the cells of your body. I mean, it's just a wonderful feeling. Makes my soul tingles.
It does, and I'm feeling it too. I get where you're coming from. And I really appreciate that, because it is that love connection. Sorry,
it is, right.
You're putting his hand up, guys.
I just want to tie the two things that I said and what Jane said together, just now that we've expressed it. So when I was talking about the rose and the wilted rose that came back, that's when there's that block. Like Jane said, you do start in the heart, and if you have the love and you're calm, if you are relaxed, which tends to be the soulful place, relaxation, when you're aware and intentional, then there is no challenges. You're just in the moment. But sometimes there's stress, and we know, and fear, doubt, et cetera, many things, physical problems. And that's when you do the healing to get back. Even if you still are suffering in some ways, you're still back into a soulful place in the moment.
Yes, I understand what you mean. And I'll probably direct this again back to you, Jane, but when we're feeling good, like when we're having a good day and things are working well, and we really feel that the love and the connection and everything works really, really well. And I know when we're feeling good, you never look back into the past. You just always, you're in the moment. You're just living life as is. But when there's an issue and there's a situation and there's that negativity coming through, we tend to look back in the past and drag all the rest of the nonsense and crap and negativity, and we shove it all in together. And we start to dwell and sort of just sit in amongst this. What I'm asking you, Jane, is, and this is probably more about the demo side of it, how can we get through that? Like you were starting to demonstrate that feeling and everything else. I would just like to let people be aware that, okay, if you're going through this, stop for the minute and just listen to Jane walk you through it. And there's a puppy dog in the background.
Right. Yeah. They're hard to control.
Yeah. So with that, if you don't mind, Jane, just sort of just putting yourself into their shoes and saying, okay, they're going through a lot of nonsense at the moment, a lot of hard stuff. What's one simple step we can go to get us through this?
Well, over the years, the thing that happened when we started doing the soul centering is that then we became very interested in healing. Because as you said, when we see what it is, we see a lot of what it isn't in our lives, you know, where we're afraid of things. I remember one of my big challenges at the time was I wasn't able to express myself. I couldn't speak up because I was so afraid of being judged. And especially being a spiritual person in a world that wasn't that spiritual, and much less then, actually, than it is now. And we have learned and actually developed different techniques. Spiritual kinesiology, the one I think that was mentioned related yes. to this, is a technique that we develop, which actually reframes, it's an NLP term, reframes anything that's bothering you into love, because okay. love also, from everything that we've seen over the years, love is the ultimate healer.
Absolutely.
So we use that a lot. And another one that is really effective, which is a slight variation on the soul centering process, and I could do a demo of it if you want. I'm not sure what the plan is for the time that we have together, but I could demonstrate in 5 minutes or less.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, so this one is, if you start in a place like it's not things aren't going well, you're frustrated, mm-hmm. maybe you're angry, afraid, stressed, confused, whatever it is. If you look at it actually as an image, and it doesn't matter if you can see images or not, but just imagine being in that place, and it feels a lot like you're wallowing in the mud. You know, and it is, it's kind of like everybody's wallowing in the mud together a lot of times. From that place, you in that state, you can start breathing. And it's good actually to close your eyes doing this, I think, a little for a couple yeah. minutes. Just breathing, and then breathing in lighter energy. Just imagine lighter energy. So it's light enough that you can start imagining yourself rising up out of that mud. And just starting gently, very gently and beautifully, perfectly floating up to a magnificent mountaintop. So it's one of those elevated mountaintops where it has a 360 degree view of everything, and it's just magnificent. It's that a lofty place, so you can just imagine rising up there, and when you arrive you can find a nice place to settle. And there's something about just imagining rising up that actually elevates a person's state. And usually when by the time you get to the mountaintop, you start to feel different. And once you're there, you can look around at that magnificent view of the world, you know, from a high place, or even even from a beach or something where you can have an expansive view of the world, that also expands your mind and your spirit. And I think that's one of the things that people are attracted to with nature, is that you can go into that place of oneness and you can just see the magnificence of everything around you. And from there, you can also imagine that light of the sun above you, which is source, shining down on you. And just opening to that. And from there, you can maybe focus on breathing that love into your heart. And then notice how you feel now compared to when you were imagining yourself in the mud. And usually, this is a much more soulful place. Usually, it's dramatically different. I don't even recall a time when I did that. I use it with clients a lot, because just going to this different place, then you can talk about, well, what's different here? You know, what's the truth about that fear? Did you need that fear? Can you let go of that fear?
Wow, that was amazing. I actually did it with you. It was really lovely. And I have to agree too. I didn't realize how raising yourself up, like when you're saying bring in that light energy, you know, sort of you're visualizing that light energy coming in and lifting yourself up, how it does, it takes you away from all the nonsense, all the
right.
The, you know, the technical term is crap, I think.
you get out of the mud and into a completely different reality. And it is, we look at it as two different realities.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and the thing and is, we can move to the mountaintop anytime.
But moving out of that gives you the opportunity then, like you're saying, to heal or to do other things, because you're taking your mind out of the, well, not out of the gutter, but out of the mud. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, right. Really. Yeah.
Yeah. And from the mountaintop, there are a lot of, well, obviously, we do, healing is our specialty. So we do all kinds of different things. But from the mountaintop, when you find that different state, you can kind of just imagine that energy, whatever color it might be or however it feels, and just send that energy back down into that place where you were before.
Ah, so you start to.
And then when you go, you can imagine going back down and you're still in that more soulful, joyful. And right. I think that's what, like what you were saying, is when we're feeling good, you know, everything seems to be fine. And it also, it's when we're feeling good about ourselves. Absolutely. I think the bottom line of that is when we're feeling good about us, everything else just falls into place. You know, mm-hmm. emotionally, we feel fine. We believe that it's all going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, physically, it might relieve some tension, because a lot of that is related to all of the other stuff that's mm-hmm. coming down into mm-hmm. the body, you know, from our thoughts and feelings.
Right.
And that would look, is so quick and simple,
right.
and yet it's so profound.
It is.
What you did. But I want to ask Philip a question now, because down at the bottom I've got the ticker tape going on, and Jane mentioned the kinesiology, the spiritual kinesiology study from home. Philip, can you give us a bit more of an understanding on that course and what that's about? Because if it was anything like what Jane just did, it will be amazing.
It is amazing.
It is. The basic part of spiritual kinesiology is two components. One is kinesiology or muscle testing. And the second part is the reframing and anchoring. That means connecting to the soul for healing. So the muscle testing, and there are different ways to muscle test. Some people, you may do it with your finger, moving your body back and forth. It's a useful tool for assessing, analyzing what's going on. Like, is this the weakness? Is it here? Yes or no? But that's sort of optional to doing spiritual kinesiology. It's a wonderful complement to it. But the real basis of it, as Jane was suggesting, is doing a soul-centering simple process like that mud-to-mountaintop one, using that energy of the soul, and then basically just putting that in, just to make it real simple for this broadcast. There's a little more to it, into your awareness of the previous situation. For example, and this is just yesterday, I helped the lady, and the issue was, you know, fearing of asking for a raise at her work, fearing, I asked her, what is the resistance about? She was fearing that, one, she would be rejected, and two, she would get offered an amount which she didn't really agree to, like that she was deserving more. So that was the issue. Going up to the mountain, she called it her summit, and having this broad, expansive view, and then looking down, it just completely changed. And there was, we measure how intense the fear is, 1 out of 10, 10 being total, and the worry, which was about 8, pretty high for her when she thought of this. So your energy goes really down. You can see how cramped we are wherever we're really highly stressed. But from the summit, completely different. And in a short time, looking again at the view, she just looked at it completely differently. She was calm. She knew it would work out. Whatever happened, it would work for her. She'd find some opportunities in it, regardless of, quote, the outcome. She was just in a completely different place, empowered place, neutral place, more soulful place to approach things. And that was a kind of a rough example of spiritual kinesiology. There's more to the details, but that gives you perhaps a gist of it.
Yeah, I know, that's really cool. Because I was aware of kinesiology, like you say, the muscle testing, and we can test for so many different things.
Yes.
But when you start to add that spiritual connection to it, or that spiritual aspect to it, it just takes it on a whole new level, doesn't it?
It does. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and that sounds really interesting. That would be something and you can do it at home. It's a certified course.
Yes, and it's a tested online course that we've done for years now. We've developed it, and we have videos and a workbook, audios, and so we take you through. We do demos on video. Jane did a demo of helping a lady who had a severe COVID situation completely heal on the video. Was just an extraordinary experience. Oh, just connecting with
her. She didn't heal instantaneously completely, but
It was pretty dramatic.
There was a dramatic change, and then she the next day or two she did recover. Yeah.
And of course with that, you know, I've known with other kinesiologists or with that sort of style of healing that you can have a big change and then we can slip back into those patterns again. And sometimes we need to, there's a puppy dog. Sometimes we need to have a few sessions just to change those deep-seated patterns. Yeah.
Exactly.
What is puppy dog's name?
This is Foxy.
Foxy. She's hello, Foxy.
A little Foxy dog, yeah.
Little Foxy dog. The other thing I wanted to say, actually, sorry, with this spiritual kinesiology home study certification course, there is a $25 coupon promo if they use the word intuit. So they've got to be watching the show or seeing the YouTube video, and they can actually get a $25 discount on that one, a promotion code. So thank you so much for that. That's delightful.
Yeah, we can give you a specific link to that page where the course is too.
Yes, so that'll be down in the descriptions down there. I've got that all ready to go.
We also have a couple of healing techniques that we describe in the book. For those who are interested in the book,
The Loving Power of Your Soul. New book.
Okay.
So there are two different ones in there. And the Mud to Mountaintop process is in there. There are a lot of different things in there.
What I did notice was that with the Loving Power of the Soul, that the book, it has the bonus meditations and videos. And so do they purchase the book and then they get them?
Right. So if they go to the link that you're going to give them, they just get the book on Amazon and go back and put in their email, and we'll send them the links to additional some of the, like, Mud to Mountaintops audios and videos of us doing that, so they get some bonuses like that.
Wow, that's really cool. Okay. And it's lovely having that, you know, not just a book, but the other types of connection, so people can connect deeper and further as well and find those different things. So I'm just going to put the other website back up, which is gettingthrough.org. And it's getting through, the through is THRU, okay, .org. And you'll be able to find all those sort of things on there. Now, hang on, what did I say on our little promo. Discover how you can rely on your source. We've got to follow the promo.
We'll fill the promise.
Okay, so we've talked about soul awareness. So we've got an understanding that soul is the energy. It's everlasting. It's eternal. It connects with everything. To connect with your soul, we're using the terminology or the love energy to connect with your soul. Pull me up if I'm wrong. And now some of the tools to do that is we've used imagery. We've talked about spiritual kinesiology, and there's a few others. But in something, you mentioned six integrated, I think that's in the book. There were six steps.
Well, there's six ways to connect with the soul. Oh, there's six different ways we describe. Jane did the one, the mud to the mountaintop is seeing things from the summit is one soulful way. And there's another variation of breathing into the heart. So those are two of the ways that we've sort of discussed a little bit here.
Well, we haven't got time. We're running out of time. We haven't got time to discuss all of them. But can you just mention the other four?
Well, how about if there's one that we could mention that also is another really wonderful thing to do, I think. Mm-hmm. We call it the miracle reframe. Mm-hmm. And we actually do it with a process we call EFT. It's a tapping process, which some people may know. Yeah. And if not, it's in the book. But the miracle reframe is just the statement, I know that anything is possible and miracles are happening now. And what we found is if you say that, and especially if you say it aloud a few times, I can't help but smile. Like anything is possible and miracles are happening now.
Yes.
Anything is possible. Miracles are happening now. So, you know, there's that one. And they really are six different ways of accessing healing energy. And that the miracle reframe is a really great one because it can shift your state very quickly.
Yeah.
Another one is the phrase, now I can't even think of it.
Every way and every day, things are getting better and better. Emil Kuye, it's an old classic.
Do you know that one?
Yeah. Phrase yeah. that many people know from decades ago. Right. And that's how we first found out about what was called holistic hypnokinesiology okay. years ago, which was the predecessor to spiritual kinesiology, where the fellow would have a person who was healing just say, every day and every way, I'm feeling better and better. And that phrase itself seemed to shift and heal people remarkably well. Just saying that while they're focusing on the issue, it seemed to transform and reframe people on the spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to do it as a walking mantra every day and in every way. Right. I'm getting better and better. And
yeah, we like that. Yeah, just that being said, we really think the ones that we did at the first are the ones we do refer, and we think they're really more profound and have a lot more potential, namely the mud to the mountaintop, that summit one that Jane just took you on, and breathing into the heart, which is there's a little more elaborate, we call it soul centering, elaborate way to connect with that. A little, but it's easy to do, but we find mm-hmm. that more profound and reliable and sustainable.
Right.
Yeah.
Another one, if you want another quick one, is connecting again with just connecting with nature.
Right.
Because it you can go into nature, just imagine, like I said, a beautiful sunset over the ocean, and especially with an expansive view. Mm. Or just, you know, being in a field of beautiful spring wildflowers with the sun shining down on you.
Right.
Jane? I think it's the way you say it. It takes you there straight away. It's like, here I am, daisies everywhere.
One of the things you might notice when you hear people talk about self-realization or awakening is that it often suspends thinking. You're in this, like it quiets all your thoughts. There's no thoughts. And when the thoughts come, they can be very soulful and unless you're sort of channeling something from a higher level, perhaps. And that's what nature does. That's what all of these things do, where you're just like, if you're in this beautiful sunset, it sort of takes your breath away. It takes all your thoughts. You're just suspended in beauty in a timeless place in the moment.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right too. You're just taking yourself away from it, and it allows when you take away that and the expansion, it allows that other energy to come through, that nicer energy to come through. So,
quiet, everybody. I apologize.
Yeah, the puppies are talking.
They are.
Well, we're just about at the end of our show. Is there anything else you'd like to bring forward before we close?
Well, just
don't
I think
talk at once.
I know. Just to realize that everything is happening for you and not against you. Mm-hmm. And I love to think every day that something wonderful is happening and I'm going to find out what it is.
As open to the synchronous flow of the universe, and that will invite the loving power of your soul to help you.
Oh, what beautiful words. Thank you so much. And again, guys, all the information will be down underneath in the description, so you'll get all that there. But I'm going to say goodbye and thank you, but stay on the line because I just have to chat with you again before I go, but I will do all the closing and I'll talk to you in a sec. Thank you so much, Philip. Thank you, Jane.
And thank you, Susan, for inviting us. Great being with you.
No worries. Oh, that was just amazing. And my first three-way, and it went really well. I was really happy with how it went. So I'll just mute this one. So that was today. What did I have to tell you? Oh, just subscribe to the channel. You know, all those sort of things that I'm supposed to say and I always forget to say. Do what you need to do. Do what you're supposed to. No, don't do what you're supposed to do. No such thing. Have a great week, and I really look forward to talking to you next week. I've got so many other guests coming on. It's really exciting. The 2022 is going to be amazing. It's a wonderful year. But for now, I'll have to take that banner off, hide that one. For now, I want to say goodbye, and I will talk to you really soon. Okay, bye now.